The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. 2022 season is upon us. Teams are on their way. We've got some teams practicing already. Week zero games are getting closer and closer. Bear, it's August. We have football this month. How are you, my friend?
I'm well. Yeah, no, the season is upon us, and we've already gone out there and thrown some win totals and stuff out there for the season, and it's the first time for us to really kind of kick them around in detail. And I guess probably going to just go through conference by conference, or how are we going to do this?
Well, let's just start where it means more. How about that? Want to do that? I got notes on every SEC team.
Wow.
Season win totals. I got a question for you about a team that I think is going to be an underdog against a non-Power 5 team, and I want to take that SEC team. So let's start with the SEC. You good with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's start in the West. I think the conversation surrounding everything in this conference is, again, Alabama and Georgia are in their own tier. Do you agree?
Yes, I do agree. I think there are people who might be a little curious as to how Georgia is going to replace so many players from that legendary defense last year. But I think you need to remember that Jalen Carter was the best player on that defense last year, and he's back, as are a majority of five-star ridiculous recruits that Kirby Smart and staff have been assembling for the last couple of years. So I don't think there's going to be a massive fall off. I think the way the schedule breaks down, if you're just looking at the actual win total for Georgia but for Alabama, like I've had this philosophical conversation with a few people that are talking about, why are you laying, what do you want to lay 240 and go over 10.5? And my thought process is, I'd rather lay more serious juice and get a half a game edge and win on 11 than push on 11. I mean, the odds of Alabama and Georgia losing two regular season games, I think, are very slim. And I mean, I know there are probably some people in Knoxville, or some people in Lexington, or some people in Gainesville, or other places in the East. I think they have a chance to upset Georgia, but yeah, I don't see Georgia losing twice.
Okay.
I don't see Alabama losing twice. So I would lay the heavy juice on 10.5 with both those teams, knowing that I went on 11, and the odds of losing on 10-2, I think, are pretty slim.
Gotcha. I've seen, you mentioned it, over 10.5. I've seen up to -255. I've seen over 11.5 on +130. And that's where I want to start with Alabama. And here's the reason. People, you got to realize it's a season-long bet. The things that can happen over a season and cost you a game or a half that equal a loss are infinity. So I totally agree with you there, Bear, about the idea of paying for an extra possible loss when you're talking about a team that's favored to win a national championship. And with this Alabama team, I was listening to Nick Saban this morning on McElroy and Kubelik, and he said last year was a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
And he's and I understand where he's coming from. Like, they had a lot of things to fill, but that's the genius of Nick Saban in this program, is that they had guys come in and dominate. And that's the issue when you have to go against them. And
think about that. Think about that, by the way. Rebuilding year. Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Bryce Young, most dominant defensive player in the country in Will Anderson. And you play for the national championship and blow out Georgia in the SEC championship game. Other than that, just your normal every ho-hum rebuilding year.
Yeah, and like he's saying it, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, last year at this point, Bryce Young was a question mark. You know, we needed to see more. I think there's a lot of guys this year, probably not to the caliber of Bryce Young, but are in the same position. Saw some things, but now it's their turn. and we'll get to the go. There's plenty of those in this conference. But when you look at Alabama this year, okay, they have the best player in college football, in my opinion, Will Anderson on defense. They have Bryce Young, obviously the Heisman Trophy winner. So they're pretty good top heavy at this, at those two positions. I still question what we're going to see from – or I shouldn't say I question. I just want to see what and how the wide receiver position plays out. I think Burton, the kid from Georgia, is going to be the number one. Watching the national championship game last year with no Mechie and Jameson goes down, you know, Ajayi, he had a couple drops, but I know he's gone to Texas. And you heard Saban talk about guys didn't step up that had opportunities in that game. Maybe they didn't know that it was going to be their time to shine, but they weren't ready. And when you read Saban's stuff about this team, I feel like he's good with who's gone. And, you know, yes. I mentioned Ajayi's gone. Billingsley both went to Texas. And Saban's quotes are, we don't have any complainers. We got guys that want to do what they're coached to do. Not a lot of negative guys. And that's a scary thought for me. And when I talk about the question of receivers, I do love the idea of what they're bringing in at running back in Jahmyr Gibbs. You talk about and talk to people who have seen a lot of them. If you haven't watched a lot of Georgia Tech, there's not a lot of chances for success with him. They could have some holes to fill up front. Who's going to be the center? One of the guards. Just looking at it again, Bear, three NFL drafts, the last three, five Alabama first-round wide receivers.
That's crazy. Is it just the transformation of not only Alabama but the entire SEC turning into that type of league. But, yeah, if there was one area last year, I think, that Alabama did kind of have a bit of a rebuild or a struggle, I think it was an offensive line where they did struggle getting some push up front and running the ball at times. So you would assume, even with Evan Neal gone, that they should have a bit more success this year running the ball, just from being the guys that are back a year more acclimated to the position, and bringing in a player like Gibbs, who I think is a much more dynamic type player than Brian Robinson was.
Yeah, and when you look at Bryce Young, I really wonder if he's going to have better numbers than he did last year. I would bet no, because when you think back to all the big plays Jameson Williams provided himself, the catch and runs that he had. I go back to the Arkansas game. That was a track meet. Mechie, what he brought to the table. I don't think he's going to be able to put up the numbers. And then I think about the other running backs where he could put Gibbs on the field, go two backs. I mean, you got Latu and you got Utes at tight end. Those guys are stellar. So the offense is going to be scary. I can't wait to see them in a real road game early on in Austin that we'll have plenty of time to talk about down the road. Saban, you know, we know his deal is the defensive secondary. They have both coordinators back, which doesn't happen a lot at Alabama. So you got Eli Ricks coming over from LSU. You know, I think Kool-Aid will probably be the other corner. They get their kicker back. And there's no chance I'm going under with this team. And I expect them to for sure be in the playoff. And I heard Bryce Young earlier this summer at SEC Media talk about, you know, we're at the point where not a national title is a failure of a season. And that's a tough one. I just want this one note to put in. I was outside. I went into the press conference last year and everybody talked about, you know, Saban's words talking about Bryce Young and Will Anderson and what they brought to the table in a year that was a rebuilding year. And it ends with a national title game loss. I saw the pain those two guys felt. I mean, it was not a pretty scene as they walked off the podium outside the room. And to see those two guys embrace is a scary thing for opponents. If I'm one of them, knowing what I saw in their two faces and knowing the opportunity that they have. So I think everything of Alabama, you're not going to get anything negative here from me. So anything else on them?
No, nor me. You mentioned Will, and he's someone who I did. He's the only guy I've made a play to win the Heisman Trophy, and I got him like 40-1 earlier in I think it was around April or so, and I think he's been down to 25-1. But look, my thinking is I think there might be some people this year who are hesitant in voting for Bryce Young to win it for a second straight year. I think what you had mentioned about his numbers probably not being as good as they were last year. I mean, how could they be? They were historic. Mm-hmm. And I think there were people last year that thought Will Anderson was the best player in the country, but just ultimately didn't vote for him to win the Heisman Trophy. And I think what he did last year gives him more of a head start. People know who he is now. They know the production. And I think if you look at the other contenders, you've got a couple of guys at Ohio State in C.J. Stroud and Trevion Henderson and Jackson Smith and Jigba who could maybe split the vote somewhat, and mm-hmm. that could hinder. You don't have to take many votes, I wouldn't think, this year from C.J. Stroud, whether you vote for Smith and Jigba or Henderson, to potentially maybe – cost Stroud the award, but make him less likely to win if people do wind up actually thinking Stroud will win it this year. So I think there are some reasons at the top, the way the award could shake down, to think that Anderson could be a very legitimate contender. And oh, by the way, remember last year, Aiden Hutchinson did finish second.
Yep.
So, I mean, a defensive player came close last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's an opportunity this year, maybe a defensive player could wind up winning. So we'll see.
The schedule at Texas week two, I would look at, obviously everybody's going to have eyes on October 8th when A&M comes into Tuscaloosa. We'll get to them. They go to Rocky Top the following week, October 15th, where plenty of expectations in Knoxville we'll get to. They do go to Death Valley November 5th. They get the Iron Bowl at home. They go to Ole Miss the second week of November. So I think it's an over or nothing as far as the Crimson Tide go. Let's move on. The next team I have here, ready? Starkville, Mississippi State. I have one stat, Bear, that jumped out to me. I really like what I've seen reading about this team, what they bring back as a roster, and I found this nugget. Since 2000, Mike Leach has had three-year quarterbacks. All three of those year, his team won 9 games. Can you name those three quarterbacks?
That's a good question. Graham Harrell?
Yep. You got one before that at that school, and then you got one after at Washington State.
Cliff Kingsbury?
Correct.
And then Wazoo would be...
Jets, bad performance, Monday Night Football, got thrown to the Wolves.
Oh, yeah, Luke Falk.
Yes, there you go. So they get Will Rogers back. This is his year, third year. They got 7 receivers that returned, at least caught 29 balls. They got a kid, Austin Williams, Bear. He's played for Mullen, Moorhead, and he's in his third year with Mike Leach. I mean – I think he's going to be 27. Let's see.
He could be like the mayor of Starkville.
Yes.
I was going to say he's been there like for a third of his life.
Yes. He will be 24 when the season begins.
It's crazy. 7 years, talk about a 30 for 30 right there. 7 years in Starkville.
Yes. Incredible. They also have something that happened with their roster that I've never seen. And we know the hatred in the Egg Bowl. Wide receiver Malik Heath has transferred from Starkville to Oxford. You don't find that very often. They do have to replace both tackles. Obviously, Cross is the first rounder. They threw it 76% of the time last year. They went 7-6. Obviously, a bad performance in the bowl game against Leach's old school in Texas Tech. Every player on the 2-deep will be at least 21 or 22 years old when the season starts. Zach Garnett, very good defensive mind there. The problem is the schedule to me. I think it's brutal when you look at it. They go to LSU early. They get A&M and Arkansas at home. They're at Kentucky and at Bama, and they're home against Auburn and Georgia. The number is 6.5. I see over 6.5 minus 120. It's not a play for me, but if I had to do with that, with reading all this, I would go over with State.
Yeah, it's hard. So many of these middling SEC teams, I'm having a problem with, because they're really so similar. And there's so many 50-50 games involved. And you look at me, you'll beat Bowling Green. You'll win your FCS game, but every other game outside of the Alabama game, like in the Georgia game, it appears to be like a winnable.
Yeah, no doubt.
But also losable at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think the good thing is you do get A&M at home, you do get Arkansas at home, and you get Auburn at home as well. So like you do get a bunch of those games at home. And if you do go down their schedule last year, I mean, so many of their losses were kind of like the I don't want to say indefensible, but like of like the most ridiculous, man, like special teams meltdowns. That is that going to happen again this year? So, I mean, I would tend to agree with you that if you did have to make a play on the side, and I would lean over. It's funny though. We talked about on Daily Wager a couple of weeks ago that Memphis game is wild. Like did the odds makers just whiff on that number? Because that number is like moved from like 8 to 16 or something like that. Mm. And like there could be some massive middle opportunities. And I mean, I know this isn't one of the typically good Memphis teams of recent years, but Memphis did beat them last year.
Yeah.
In one of those ridiculous type games. Correct. So that's going to be an interesting. And then Arizona to open is a game that, I mean, I think people think that Arizona is going to be better this year. But there are people who are touting them for the over, but that schedule's tough. And then you got to go to LSU.
Yes.
I think I'm going to be a lot higher on LSU than a lot of other people are. Mm-hmm. So it's tricky. If I had to play a side, I would go under. I would go over rather, but it's certainly nothing that I feel totally strong conviction with.
Understood. And if you don't start 2-0, you got no chance of going over. I'll tell you that. And you mentioned the games last year. They won 7. They lost the bowl game. I mentioned that. They won 7. And that includes missing 3 field goals and a 31-28 loss to Arkansas. Missing a 33-yarder against LSU, lost 28-25. And then the Egg Bowl debacle where he missed 2 field goals and lost by 10. But it's a lot of – It's Leach in a nutshell of the roller coasters. Like when it's going, it's good, and then there's just stuff that makes you scratch your head. So it's not a great one, but I definitely would lean over with State. Let's stay in that state with Ole Miss, who, I mean, you got to start with the turnover, right? I mean, they lost both coordinators. They lose 5 of the 10 assistants. The quarterback, top rusher's gone. They lost 20 starters. They won 10 wins. You know, they had 10 wins last year, most in school history. The problem I have, and this is sort of what I feel better about A&M when we get to them, is the quarterback position. They got Jackson Dart and Luke Altmyer that are going to compete for the job. Altmyer was brutal, thrown to a horrible situation that bowl game against Baylor, sacked 7 times, 2 picks, and you know, just thrown to the wolves. Dart has shown flashes at SC. I just think back to Pac-12 quarterbacks coming into this league. JT Daniels at the end of 20 season got it going. But I also think of KJ Costello, who came to Mississippi State, lit up LSU, who we saw was not the best defense that year, and ended up losing his job to Rodgers. Yep. So,
and you got another Pac-12 quarterback coming into the SEC with Jaden Daniels at LSU as well.
Yes. We will get to that situation. But I don't like all this turnover. I think obviously the world of Lane is a play caller. The number is 8 also, -125 over. The idea of all these guys fitting in, guys missing spring ball, the kid they got from UCF, the receiver Jalen Robinson's phenomenal. Everybody loves the tight end from Trigg, from USC, Michael Trigg, who's about 6'4", 245, and is an absolute stud, everybody's saying. And the idea of the defense, you lose Durkin, who I think really highly of. They lined up with 6 or more defensive backs in 87% of their snaps last year. No other team in the country did it more than 700 of the 991 snaps. The schedule is more favorable, I think, at the beginning than when you look at like somebody like State. Like they could be 4-0.
That's good, though, for a team that has so many questions and going to take some time to be able to have that schedule to open up and really have an opportunity to be 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, maybe?
It could be 7-0.
7-0.
Yeah, they could be 7-0. They get Kentucky and Vandy in the crossovers, and we'll get to Kentucky because they're Kentucky you're going to want to get early. They got some things going on with possible suspensions and guys filling in there. So the schedule is very manageable, but I honestly could see them being 7-0 and ending 7-5. I really could. When you go at LSU, at A&M, home for Bama, at Arkansas, and home for State, like that's pretty rough. But yeah. You know they're going to score. Lane will figure out the offense. I just don't trust all the turnover. That's why I'm not taking or touching over 8 on Ole Miss. I might actually even play the under.
I've seen 7.5 at DraftKings, and the over is actually -145. So they get a little bit of plus money on under 7.5, which might be the way to go. As kind of we outline there that there's an opportunity there where they may even if they just think about what we just said. If everything goes right and they start off great and go 7-0, there's still no guarantee that they pick up that 8th win.
Yes.
So under 7.5 would probably be the side that I would play here, because I do think it'll be difficult for Lane to kind of fill that staff in as well as he did last year and losing Levy and losing Dirk. And those are massive losses. So, I would consider under 7.5 here.
And I'll say – the offensive line is not going to be great, but Lane has proven he could coach with an inferior offensive line year in and year out. If anybody was looking for the final numbers on fourth downs last year, 4th and 3 or more, he went for it 30 times, including 11 times in their own territory. 9 of the 14 transfers he brought in are 4-stars. But, I mean, 20 players transferred out and very, very few guys contributed last year. So, we'll talk about that as we go here, especially in this conference, the way guys are changing schools. But it's a lean to the under for me. And also, it's kind of my opposite thinking, Bear. You know, I always like to get a couple of win totals out of the way early.
You want to know early. Exactly. Yes.
Now, I will say, if they get a couple hiccups early, you're golden. I think you're golden here with Ole Miss. But it could. I tend to lean. It's going to be a late season sweat, and I don't want any part of that. All right, next, War Eagle, Auburn. Number is 6. Interesting squad here. We know about the turmoil in the offseason. Just, I mean, the witch hunt that was out for Harsin was just not even fair. First losing season since 2012 last year, and good news for Auburn fans. The following year after that, 3-9 season, you won the title. But you get Mason takes a pay cut to go to Oklahoma State, the defense coordinator. But he gets rid of Bobo. Austin Davis comes in and quits. 20 players to the portal. Who's going to be the quarterback? Is it going to be Finley? They bring in Calzada from A&M. New offensive coordinator, obviously, Keesaw. And the schedule, again, this team could rip off 5-6 in a row. I think this team is found something in the offseason with all that they went through, and I think they got a bad taste in their mouth. Tank is an absolute stud. I'm not sure how many running backs I would take in the conference over him. The offensive line has to figure it out. They got experience, but they didn't have any explosive plays last year, and they only scored 12 touchdowns last year, I believe, on the ground. So it's a lot is on the table here for Harsin, obviously, with what happened. They lost 7 D-line to the portal, but returned 3 starters. Two of those guys had double-digit TFLs. They get Papo back. They lost some corners. And I'm kind of rooting for this team, knowing what they had to go through in the offseason, Bear. They get 5 home games to start. Two biggest rivals are the best two programs in the country in Alabama and Georgia. But when you look at the start, you get Mercer, San Jose State, Penn State, Missouri, LSU. I think those are all winnable. I lean over with War Eagle. That's six.
Yeah, the I know Greg, we talked with Greg McElroy last week as well, and he's also on the Auburn over as well. I mean, the way the schedule does break down, getting all those games at home is certainly a help to say you're 5-0 there. Feels like six is the right number.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a for me, it's a no play. I think 6-6 is, if I had to play it again, like I would with Steve State, I'd go over, but it does feel like six is the right number. Again, the good thing is you do get Arkansas at home, and you do get A&M at home, and you do get LSU at home, among those games that could be more winnable than others. But yeah, I mean, you think about how bad everything went last year, and they still should have beaten Alabama.
Yes.
That's the amazing thing.
Could have beat Penn State, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that game was right there. And I would say you don't have a chance with the over if they lose to Penn State early in the season. Arkansas, 9-4 last year, first-ranked finish in a decade. KJ Jefferson comes back, fourth rated passer in the SEC last year behind Hendon Hooker, Stetson Bennett, and Bryce Young. The best running back transferred to UTSA. Obviously, Treylon Burks, 40% of the team's wide receiving yards bear last year. 40%. When you go back and watch them, it's amazing how much KJ relied on him and went to him in every possible pressure needed first down situation, stuff like that. They do bring in former five-star Jaden Hazelwood from Oklahoma. He was the number one wide receiver in the class of 19. They did get scorched, that defense, in their four losses. They didn't score against Georgia. They gave up 51 to Ole Miss, 35 to Bama, and 460 yards to Auburn. They did lead the SEC in rushing. I think they have to do that to have success again this year. And that was the first time since Run DMC. The first two games to me are
fascinating. Are real,
yes. They get Cincinnati at home, and then South Carolina comes in, who's a team that I'm really high on. But your thoughts on Arkansas?
I like Arkansas, I think it's interesting though, because they're kind of the reverse of all of these other teams that we just talked about in terms of the scheduling. Like they don't get a break. I mean, they're in it. They're in it from the start. And I think the fact that you do have, we talked about coaches leaving, the fact that, that Sam Pittman got, you talk about Kendall Briles and Barry Odom, like turning down other opportunities, to stay, in Fayetteville. I think that is going to help them, especially early on this year. I like Arkansas. Again, you got to go 8-4 to win.
Yeah.
Which is a tough thing. And I mean, just the it's just so hard, like I said, with a lot of these SEC teams with the lack of automatic wins that you would assume that they should have four wins at the end of the year. But you don't know, because I think LSU could be okay. Ole Miss by that point in the year might be better, and who knows what's going to happen with Missouri. I like them, but it might result in a better team talent-wise, or a really good team on par with last year's, but eclipsing or reaching last year's season win total might be difficult to do. Just look at that. You got A&M, Alabama, at Mississippi State, at BYU, 4 weeks in a row, man. That is tough.
Yeah.
And that's after the Cincinnati, South Carolina start to the year as well. So that's a hard schedule. I like them, but I certainly wouldn't play over.
You said it. October 1st, Bama at home. And then they get a bye week after BYU, but then they go to Auburn again. Four straight road games in the middle. That's very weird. They do get their kicker back. Cam Little returns 2024 last year. This will go with our other team. They basically traded two guys from their secondary to LSU for two transfers to come from LSU. So we'll see how that pans out. They do get Catalon back, who was a 2020 freshman All-American. And Odom is, I mean, he's been solid. Like I said, they got lit up in their four losses, but I mean, they held 9 of the 13 opponents under 250 yards passing. So there's the other question mark they have is they get Drew Sanders from Alabama, who was a 5-star linebacker who's just never been able to stay healthy in Tuscaloosa. I think he could be a serious force off the edge. And they get one of the best names, Bumper Pool, back at linebacker. I would lean under there just because I think it's pretty daunting of a task with the schedule, even though I love Pittman and Kendall Browse will figure out the offense. I'm not worried about him, but I just think the task of the schedule is too tough. Let's go to Baton Rouge. You mentioned you like LSU. You go.
No, I do. I think people are down on LSU and kind of mainly because of the Brian Kelly, like the way he got hired, all the ridiculous videos, and I think they're more hung up on the culture fit than anything else. I mean, like LSU last two years didn't have a talent problem. They had kind of a culture problem. They had guys holding themselves out for the pros. They had off the field issues with Coach O. Like they still got players there. Mm-hmm. And for this total to be, I mean, there were some 6.5s out there. There were some 7s out there. There were some 7. It's kind of like there. I know there are people who got some nice over 6.5, under 7.5. And it seems like it's kind of falling on 7 right now. But I think 7-5 is kind of a bottom basement level for, because I think there's a really good chance they open 4-0.
Yes.
Before they go to Auburn, and you get Tennessee at home, you get Ole Miss at home, UAB you'll beat. Like I think there is definitely an opportunity for LSU to win 7 or 8 games. So again, the defense completely bottomed out last year, and I think you bring in Matt House, who obviously from some familiarity with Brian Kelly there, as well as the offensive coordinator as well. I think there is definitely some reason for upward movement for LSU. And again, we talked about Alabama against Auburn last year. As bad as things went for LSU last year, and you only went to Tuscaloosa and won.
Yeah.
So I kind of echoes the point on like the talent level is still there. And Brian Kelly, like for all the knocks that he couldn't win the big game. In Notre Dame, and he went to the playoff in the New Year's Six and got blown out. Like when Brian, there were big underdogs in those games. Like when Brian Kelly was a favorite at Notre Dame, I think he won something like his last 40 or 45 games in a row. Like he won games, all the games that they were supposed to win, all the games when they were perceived to have better talent, they won. And he's going to set foot on the field at LSU with better talent a good amount of the time. So, I think if that continues where Brian Kelly, the head coach, wins the games that he's supposed to win, I think that bodes well for Baton Rouge, for his era in Baton Rouge, as long as they continue to recruit the type of players that they can and will, and I think they will. So, I would play over 7 for LSU because I don't think 6-6 is in the cards. I think they're at least 7-5. I think LSU is going to have a better year than people think.
I agree. A couple things here. Obviously, everybody made a big deal about him going there. You mentioned it. The coaching staff he has aligned has one holdover from the LSU staff, and that's Brad Davis. And he's also the O-line coach, and that, I think, is their biggest question mark. There's not a lot of depth there. There is some talent. But when you already keep the guy who knows these guys, I think that helps a ton. The big decision is the quarterback. Do you want Brennan? Brennan was there before Joe Burrow got there.
Yep.
That's insane to me. He averaged 370 yards in his 3 starts. Jaden Daniels you know, the kid from Arizona State, obviously athletic, has had issues with his accuracy. And the wild card to me still is Garrett Nussmeier. You know, Kelly said he had the best spring. And the best thing about this, whoever the quarterback is, the wide receiver group is loaded. You got Butte, Jenkins, Besh. They could go seven deep at wide receiver. The Emory Jr. looks like he's going to be the running back. He's had some issues, but Brian Kelly said he's tightened it up. They bring in Noah Cain from Penn State. And one thing that Brian Kelly has said all offseason is that O-line has to be strengthened, and you've got to be able to run the ball in this division. And I completely agree. They finished 13 out of 14 in total rushing yards last year in the SEC, and that included a single-game rushing record from Davis Price against Florida. Den Brock is the new OC from Cincinnati. I think the defensive line talent is phenomenal. I love Ojulari. Mason Smith is a guy that they're talking about is going to have a big year. They don't have any production at corner, but they did bring in a bunch of guys. They brought Banks from Ohio State, all Big 12 corner from Oklahoma State. They got both their safeties back. They led the SEC in pressures last year. One issue I do have is the kicker is going to be a true freshman, but he was the top-ranked kicker in the class. And you talked about it. He should win the games he's supposed to win. They could be favored in 10 games this year. So I'm completely biased because I think the world of Brian Kelly. So I'm definitely over. I grabbed over 6.5 earlier. I would even say over 7 as you did. For the one big opener though, that's an exciting game too.
It is
Florida State in New Orleans.
That's a glorified home game for LSU. I hope Noah Cain has a good year this year. I don't know what happened with him at Penn State last year. Whether it was something going on off the field or just rehabbing from an injury, but he totally looked like a different player from the player who flashed so much potential earlier in his career. And I hope he gets it back to that level, because he could be a pretty dynamic addition if he can resemble the player that he was earlier in his career than he was last year, where he kind of appeared to have checked out a little bit.
Very good. All right, let's get to the last team in the West. I'm not saying they're coming in last, all you crazy people in College Station, but it's Texas A&M.
You heard me. You heard everybody. You the last team in the West.
Yep.
You heard
it's me. Your thoughts, A&M, College Station, Jimbo, everything, all that comes with it. Go.
All that comes with it. I think this is going to be a team where I think a lot of people, and it's kind of the situation with Miami too, because of the great recruiting that's gone on this offseason and this potential signing class for next, like these players aren't there yet. So you need to be able to differentiate like what is tangible to help these teams on the field this year. And a signing class for the upcoming season is not helping them this year. Mm-hmm. They need to figure out their quarterback position. I think they need to have some of the recent signees step in on the defensive line. You look at the running back position, losing Spiller is a big deal. Yes, I know you've got guys behind him who you feel you can do the job. But again, it feels like Alabama on the road is a potential loss. And then I've said it before, like only once since Johnny left, have the Aggies beaten both Mississippi and Mississippi State in the same year. So like you got to get over that hump as well. I think they are a year away from really threatening to reach the college football playoff and to win the West. It's clear that they are on the ascendancy, and I think the little bit of a feud, if you want to call it that, that was going on in the offseason with Jimbo and Saban was good. A little bit of juice is never a bad thing. The Arkansas game will be a difficult game. Mississippi State on the road will be a difficult. You got those three. Again, we talked about the Arkansas 4 weeks in a row. 4 weeks in a row, you got Miami coming in, you got the Arkansas game, mm-hmm. you go to Starkville, and then at the end of that, you go to Alabama. So yeah. I like that. That's probably a 2-2 stretch right there. I would think, can A&M go over the 8.5? Sure. It's 8.5 minus 150 to go over. It's 8 or 9 probably. I think they're more likely 9-3 than they are 8-4. But again, it's one of those, and I don't see an edge. You're basically sitting right in the middle of, I think, the two most likely outcomes for A&M. But I'm really curious to see what direction they go at the quarterback position. If they go to the freshman, or if they just kind of bridge the gap with Matt Johnson or the other kid.
And here's the deal. I'll say with Jimbo, I saw 9. I didn't see any other numbers, and it's a stay away from me. I don't see this team winning double digit games, but they are fascinating to me because you mentioned this class and all the hype, but even last year, that class of, we're finally going to see these guys. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, a 5-star receiver, Evan Stewart, they got. He was a spring game MVP. I'm dying to see what he looks like. I haven't watched the spring game. But all these Frost 4-stars that are coming in, I'm just excited to see him. You know, A-Chain will take over. You mentioned Spiller, 17 touches a game. A-Chain was awesome when he got the ball. Where is it? 7 games when he averaged 12 touches, he averaged 115 scrimmage yards, 7.9 yards per touch. That's doing something. And I'll say this about the quarterback competition. At least this year, both guys compete with Mac Johnson and Haynes King. They've started games. And I think that's a huge step from mm-hmm. where they were last year when it was Haynes King and Calzada. They lose Weidermeyer at tight end. I thought he was one of the most underperforming players in the league last year. And I think it's almost a good thing because now you get some youth. They brought in Steve Adazio. You can say what you want about Adazio. The guy could freaking coach an O-line. And I think that he's gonna be fired up for that. They got to shore up the left side.
Durkin on defense.
But 91% of the snaps last year for Jimbo's offense, they used tight ends. So a lot of opportunity for those young guys. You mentioned Durkin. A&M already had a top 35 defense under Elko last year. Every 21 starter on the D-line either graduated or went to the draft, and they got 8 guys coming in. 2 came in early already, played in the spring, and really Jimbo thinks they're going to contribute right away. They better, or else they're in trouble. And Jimbo, just reading about the secondary, the back end, he thinks linebackers, you know, they usually play 2. That's the biggest question mark. And he feels good about the depth. He's just got to figure out who's going to start in the back end of that secondary. I'm fascinated by the game with Miami week 3 because I think both teams are going to find so much out about themselves in that game. It's just a great, like you mentioned, you compared them at the beginning of this and all this, you know, you talk to Miami and we'll talk to them. Maybe we'll do ACC next week, but like, they feel like they have the best quarterback in the conference. I don't know if I agree with that, but when you talk to people around that program, they feel like they do, which is great for the conference of your program. When you know, you have your guy, mm-hmm. you mentioned the schedule. I think at South Carolina is a tricky one. And Did the 5-stars and recruits live up to the hype? The number I saw is 9 for plus 110. I wouldn't touch the over, but I'm dying to see what this team looks like in that game at home against Miami and at the end of the season. So it's a stay away for me, but fascinating to watch how the Aggies play out.
Yeah, I think I might get an up close and personal look at that game in college.
Yeah, I'm hoping to join you there because SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt is going to follow Miami Texas A&M week 3.
Oh, really?
Awesome. Okay. Yes. Sure, yeah, it'll be nice and cool. Right? It's nice and cool.
It's going to be a great double for me. And again, I can afford to sweat off a few pounds. But yeah, I'll have Austin on the 10th for Alabama Texas, and then we'll go to whatever primetime game that night, and then back to Texas the following week to College Station, more than likely.
All right.
For Miami again. So I'll get my Texas 2-step.
All right. Very good.
In September.
More about the Bears travels in a bit. All right. Let's go to the East. We touched on them at the top. Georgia, I've seen over 11.5 plus 155. Did you see any 10.5 for Georgia?
Oh, yeah. I got 10.5 minus 240. 10.5 minus 240 still available at DraftKings.
Okay.
That's why I alluded to it before. And that was cool.
Obviously, 15 players drafted. You talk to some people around the Georgia program, Bear. I've heard people say they have a chance to be better than last year.
I know.
I've heard people say that, and I'm sorry, I can't buy it. I do love Kirby Smart's quote, you're either elite or you're not. I can't believe it's year 7 for Kirby in Athens already. Just to see what he's done now that he has the title. Since 98, 13 teams have won the title. 13 teams have played in 2 title games. And Georgia's one of those. Just a testament to what they've done in that program, in that spot. The offense, you talked about it. Bennett's back. I was going back. I didn't realize the numbers they put up as an offense. Just seeing how, the two Bama games kind of overshadowed your thought until you go back and look. Probably the best tight end room in the country. Gilbert.
Hard not to think that.
Yeah. Gilbert sounds like he's full go. Washington's a monster. And obviously Brock Bowers, who led the country in tight end touchdowns with 13. They also bring in a freshman, Oscar Delp, who they've just raved about. They threw the ball 407 times more than they did in the title game season in 17. 36 points a game last year, 10th in the country. Here's one thing that I thought the defense really stuck out. The defense got them 25% of their drives that started on the 40-yard line or better, and they scored 68% of those drives. That's efficiency. Fired up just to see the new guys on the defense. You talked about it. Jalen Carter is back, 88. Watch out for him. And they both get other edge guys back, Nolan Smith and Robert Beal. I think Beal's in his 5th or 6th year, possibly. And here's one for the defense, and you could go. Offenses went backwards more than they scored touchdowns last year against Georgia's defense. They get Hot Pod back at kicker. He's 35 for 43 in a awesome job filling in after Rodrigo went to the pros. So at South Carolina week 3, Tennessee at home November 5th, at Kentucky November 19th. It's an over or nothing for me. Dogs, anything more there?
Yeah, no, I played the over 10.5. I think we've kind of, I don't want to say beaten them, beaten it down here to beaten to death here, but our opinions are pretty strong here. So yeah, over I'm over 10.5.
All right, I am fired up to see them go to Columbia because I think South Carolina. I will get to them in a second. Florida. 13 years since they won the SEC, which is amazing to me. I absolutely love the hire of Billy Napier. They obviously, Mullen, just going back and look at it, Bear, he started 29-5, and then he lost 9 of the last 14. We know what the questions about recruiting. I still think there's talent there. I think Billy's going to do a great job. I just feel like they're so fed up and impatient, as a lot of these people are. I think it's tough. I'm on under 7.5. I paid minus 150. I'm not sold on Richardson. I need to see more. He's only started one game. Obviously, it was against Georgia, and he was not great. Napier said, his decision making is the top priority, and that I feel like takes a lot of games to get, and they don't have a lot of room, knowing how they start the season. He brought his best offensive lineman from Louisiana in. They get 3 starters back on the O-line. That hasn't been great. Guy Zipperer is going to be the tight end, who looks like he could definitely contribute. And they threw 18 picks by Gator quarterbacks last year. That's the most since 2002, when your boy, the Zucker, was the head coach. thoughts on the Gators?
I'm torn on the Gators.
Okay.
I kind of agree with you. I don't know how much talent is really there. I think that was one of the bigger criticisms of Dan, is the inability, I guess, to recruit. You're a home underdog against Utah and to start the year. And I think that's an opportunity. I mean, if you're going to get Utah, I think the time to get them there is in that opener with so much hype around the Utes and potentially being the best team in the Pac-12. And it's the first game with your new head coach and people doubting you. You're going to be hot and humid and not exactly conditions that Utah are basically used to. Like that's a perfect spot to potentially pull the upset. I mean, would it surprise anybody if Florida opened 3-0? It wouldn't surprise me. Is there a reason why you can't go to Tennessee and win? No. And you got Eastern Washington and Missouri. Like if Florida were 6-0, would anybody be totally shocked? Like I would be totally shocked
if they're 6-0. Absolutely.
Okay.
I think
Kentucky home against South Florida at Tennessee, home Eastern Washington, home Missouri.
I think there's a good possibility they're 2-3 when they go to Missouri. I think it's a tough. I mean, the idea of Kentucky will get to them with the issues that they have, but that Utah team is physical, man, and you're gonna have to get up off the deck and play a division game right away. I think that's a tough task for a team that hasn't had a lot of success. And like I said, I think it's going to take time with Napier. I think he'll instill that. But that's a tough, tough deal and tough way to start the year. So that's why I'm more so lean to the under.
Yeah, it's probably a no play for me. It's 7. Like 7-5 is very doable.
Yeah.
You get South Carolina at home. You get LSU at home. You get Missouri's, all these like Kentucky, all those like winnable games.
Yes,
against the East, they're all at home, and then your road game's Vandy. So yes. it's like there are opportunities for Florida, I think, to win 7 or 8 games, and like I said, it's the Utah game is what, they're 2 or 3 point home dog, yeah. And the game at Tennessee will be. I think there's more of a chance they beat Utah than they do go on the road and beat Tennessee.
I agree with that.
But I think there's a good chance they beat Utah week one. I really do.
Okay. We will. I mean, that's a fascinating week one game.
Would I play over 7? I don't know. Like I said,
I played under 7.5, -150.
Okay.
I feel really good about that. And the defense also has, I mean, we haven't touched about that. I mean, they were obviously, people talk about the Grantham scheme and all that, but the LSU game, they gave up 40 to South Carolina.
That's the million-dollar question right there. Was it just third and Grantham or just the players? Or was it a combination of both?
Here you go. 59th in yards per play. 5.4 yards per play they gave up. They allowed 320 yards to rushing to LSU. That was triple LSU's average for the year. 40 points to South Carolina. That doubled the game.
An LSU team, by the way, which was like dead team walking at the time.
Yes. Yes. I definitely had Florida
that week. That had to cheat out the door to the NFL.
And 52 to Samford, the most by an FCS team against an FBS. Now, they got guys, too. Cox is a stud on the edge. Dexter's a guy that's made plays in the middle. They have guys back in the secondary. They just couldn't take the ball away from teams. They're only 13 takeaways. That ranked 104th in the country. I love the hire. I don't have that high expectations this year, and that's why I'm under 7.5.
If you can find under 7.5, I think I got circa.
That.
Was it? Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I only pulled the numbers from DraftKings this morning just to
got have it.
Something handy. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
I could certainly consider that. Yeah.
Okay. Tennessee, everybody's Vols. Do you believe the hype?
Offensively, I believe the hype for sure, and I think. I don't want the issue I have with Tennessee is more of a me problem. I did not think that last year was going to go well for them at all. And then for them to completely smash and exceed my expectations for them. Now everybody has the expectations for them this year. Like, do I want to, like, I hate like it's the old adage. Like, if you weren't at the baptism, you don't want to be there for the funeral. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to go all in on a team that you really weren't sure about last year? And then they wound up having this prolific offensive season. And now everybody's on them. And you have the game against Bama, the crossover game against Bama, the game at Georgia. You go to South Carolina, you go to LSU, you go to Pitt, who beat you last year. There are some landmines there for them to kind of navigate with the defense. I think that still has some issues.
Agree on all fronts. I think the Pitt game is massive, especially when you talk about a win total. I've seen over 7.5 -160 and over 8 -120. I don't really want to touch either of those. Same thing. How much better can Hendon Hooker be? He was phenomenal.
Was it last year. 31, 3 TINT or whatever it was?
68% completion percentage, 181 passer efficiency rating. And they found him in that game against Pitt. So to me, that game dictates a lot because, you know, I've heard people talk about, is the Florida a must win? Well, yeah, if you're going to have a breakout season, but you got to go to Pitt and win because they came to your house and beat you last year. And to take that next step, that's a game you have to go win. And you touched on the defense. They gave up 40 points 5 times last year. The only team that was worse than them in third down conversions allowed was Missouri. They allowed third down conversions on 42% of the third downs, and that ranked 101st in the NCAA. They do get their kicker back. I want to mention that, but it's I don't see the defense taking that amount of strides because, in fact, they're in that with Hooker. You know, I don't think he has another tier to his game. I thought we saw his ceiling last year. Tillman was unbelievable. Last year, I still can't believe he dropped that pass against Ole Miss, but that's another time. Tennessee is a stay away, and I want to watch and see how it plays out in Knoxville.
I wholeheartedly agree on the stay away part of it.
Okay. My Vanderbilt Commodores. Woof.
Soon to be the best team in the best program in the SEC, right? I get why you have to say it.
I get it.
Do you really have to say it? I mean, really. Like, I understand. I mean, you need to show confidence in your program and in what you're doing. But you're basically turned into a punchline for a new cycle. Now, that being said, they have recruited a lot better than they have in a long time. They've kind of done things a little bit differently there with player personnel directors and things like there's clearly a plan there. And I'm really fascinated to see at some point if it does work. Now, remember Franklin, what they went 7-8 games, I think, with Franklin a couple times, got to a couple bowls. It can be done to that point. You can get to that type of level with them. But again, that was also before Georgia turned into the absolute monster that they are now.
Okay. So, I have a positive at the end of this.
I hope that they do. Now look, there's an opportunity for them to win a couple of games to start the year.
Do you think they win at Hawaii?
I haven't examined the game close enough to know if they win at Hawaii. Does Hawaii have any
I have players I haven't left? Gotten to my Hawaii research. I haven't gotten to Hawaii yet. I just some of these numbers are just astounding, and that's why they cannot be worse. I do give credit. You mentioned the quote he said at SEC Media Day. I do appreciate his quote. Clark Lee talking about the head coach, 2-10 last year in a debut season. We cannot microwave the process here. And I think that, I give him a lot of credit. I think he's going to go with Mike Wright, the younger kid at quarterback. They were 118th in the country in offense, 312 yards per game. They lost three starters, including one that really hurts the kid, Steen. I think he's going to be a starter for Alabama. They had 34 plays over 20 yards in 12 games. The only teams worse, Colorado, New Mexico, and Navy. 15.8 points per game, 128th in the country. Only UConn and New Mexico were worse. And to make matters worse, they punted 73 times last year. 73 times they punted. And to show you how bad the defense was, they had 45 total punt return yards. 45 total punt return yards. They only returned 8 punts. That just tells you how bad the defense is. With all that, oh, I got one more. They do return. Here you go, Bear. 66% of their sacks return. Problem is, there was only 9 of them last year. they got 6 returners, seniors returning on defense. And here is my guarantee for Vanderbilt this year. Week 4, they will go to Northern Illinois and win. That's my guarantee.
All right.
They're going to the MAC and getting a W. That's my guarantee. Calvin
getting a W. Building momentum before the Alabama game.
Yes, exactly. They got to get it in before that.
get the excitement. Maybe that means we'll get the that Alabama number down from like 44 to 42 or something like that.
First half. The number's 2.5. I will get there. I just need to do my Hawaii, because if you don't win that one, I don't think you have a chance.
No, yeah, if you don't win Hawaii, you're not.
You know, you're
and
you're
maybe that presents. What is the number for that game, by the way? I mean, maybe that
they're presents giving like I want to say they're giving close to 10.
Hawaii's giving 10?
No,
Vandy's giving 10.
I could swear.
That's how like lost I am on Hawaii. Like I haven't even looked.
Yeah,
at it. Like I have no idea.
I think they're playing in their new stadium.
This is the new stadium, right?
Yeah, they have to. Vandy -6.5 week 1.
Okay.
Or week 0. Week 0 at Hawaii. 10:30 p.m. Eastern, CBS Sports Network. I will be watching that.
Oh, unquestionably. So I like Man, that is tough. You have to win 2 road games in order to have any chance of going over.
Yes. Well, their home games are like road games for every other conference opponent.
Yeah, but still, like you've got to win. You got 2 non-conference road games that you have to win, or else you have no shot of going over.
We will make a Vandy play on the season win total before the season starts. I need to check out a couple more things, but they will go to DeKalb and win. I'm telling you right now. I'm that confident. Kentucky, we've been proud
big blue nation,
proud backers of Kentucky the last couple of years. This year it feels like a different animal. I did see earlier, and I didn't get on the under. It was 8. Now I see over 7.5, 135 at Circa. Your thoughts on the Big Blue Nation?
Under 8 -120.
Okay.
Drafting. So you could play around there and something. But yeah, this is a they're an interesting team because like so many people are excited about Will Levis. Excited about that offense. You lose Wandell Robinson. You lose Liam Cohn. I think there are some knowing Mark the way you and I know Mark. Mm-hmm. This is all stuff that's driving and motivating. Yep. And hearing the questions about his inability to replace teams, replace players, and recruit. It's a hard ask for Kentucky to go. I mean, over 8 when I'm looking at it. I mean, that feels like a no win number at all. to go over the edge, especially when you look at the like you got to go to Florida. I think Louisville will be better. You got the Georgia game. You go to Tennessee. Like that, I mean, even in the best case scenario, it feels like 9-3. Well, it's like the ultimate.
Yeah.
Like if you told Kentucky fans that we're gonna go 9-3 right now,
sign me up.
Like done. Let's not play the season. Let's go straight to the Outback Bowl, or whatever the Outback Bowl is being called now. I forgot.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
It's always the Outback Bowl.
Yeah, I saw Circa has 7.5 for over -135. I guess I would take a shot at that, but you mentioned a bunch of the things. Wandale gone. They do get
Rodriguez. We don't know what's going on with him.
Yes, he's definitely looking at a suspension. They're, you know, people around the program are worried how long it's going to be, and that's why that Florida game's huge, and then they have to play Ole Miss, I believe, week 4. So
No. Well, they get Northern Illinois fresh off the Vandy game.
Oh, my schedule's wrong. Oh, week 5. No, okay. Ole Miss at Ole Miss, October 1st.
Will Kentucky beat the boys from DeKalb? You've already called Vandy beating the boys from DeKalb. I agree too. I think they will.
But you mentioned Liam Cohen. I really thought highly of him. And they bring in Scangarello, who is a guy from the Niners. And that's why I wonder about this offense, because I love Will Levis. But they lost both their tackles and their center, and those guys are all in the NFL. And there's two deals here with that Liam Cohen, McVay, Shanahan offense. And Scangarello comes from the Shanahan offense, whereas more, I would say, two tight ends. And they don't really have tight ends. I'm not sure they're as deep as they have been there. And I think they're going to go more to that wide running game. And it's different than the O-line has done. They lost their O-line coach to Kentucky. So that, and then you mentioned Rodriguez not being there at the beginning of the year. I think there's a lot of stuff in there. They do get Tavion Robinson from Virginia Tech, who's been phenomenal. They do like their receivers. They got two freshmen, local kid Dane Key. They thought really highly of. Stoops says the deepest wide receivers group he's had since he's been in Lexington. They do have 4 tight ends. I just don't know what the quality of those guys is, because they're going to be asked to do more in a Scangarello offense. They lost 3 big difference makers on defense. I love Pascal, Big McCall up front, and Corker was a safety. They got some super seniors at linebackers. But the production that they're losing, where are they getting that from off on defense? Super senior kicker Ruffalo, 26-32 in his career. You mentioned it, both Mississippi schools in the crossovers. What's the longest they could go undefeated? Could they go 7-0?
Could they? Yeah, absolutely. You know how Mark
will
get worked up for that South Carolina game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that Florida, that timing of that game for Florida is really interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that too. Like Florida having to bounce back and play Kentucky, the way that they've had offensive linemen go to the NFL. Like, I think that offensive line will be better than – I don't want to say you think that they're going to be bad, but I think they'll be okay. Obviously, they're not going to be like the group that they've had, but I think they'll be okay. That could be a tough game for Florida, a really tough spot, depending on how that Utah game goes.
Yeah. Very interesting year. I think the beginning of the year, obviously, with the Rodriguez possible suspension, will dictate what you see. I just need to see that offense before I do anything. Could they be a weekly play? Probably. But I need to see it, and that's why I'm not touching the season win total.
I hope they're undefeated so we get to Lexington for the Georgia game.
There we go.
I want 10-0 hosting Georgia on November 19th. We'll see you at Kroger Field.
There's your optimism, Big Blue Nation. All right. South Carolina, your thoughts?
I think they're a tough team to evaluate. You have, again, a team that I don't think very many people thought were going to be very good last year. And I think they kind of surprised some teams and exceeded some expectations. And now you bring in Rattler and some other players. You should have – we talked about Georgia's tight end room being the best in the country. South Carolina's going to have one of the better tight end rooms in the country as well. I'm really curious to see because, again, this is another step right into it. You got the Georgia State is not a slouch by any means at all. That is a dangerous game in the opener. Then you go to Arkansas, and then you got Georgia. So, like, it would be absolutely – if they lose that Georgia State game, which they're favored to win that game, and they should win the game. But we've seen Georgia State pull upsets before.
Yeah.
And – if they lose that game, and then you probably you're staring 0-3 in the face because you're going to go Arkansas. You're going to Arkansas win? No. You're going to beat Georgia? No. And that'll really – like they need to beat Georgia State and then have a winning record going to Kentucky and the meat of that SEC schedule. It's hard for me to play the over on South Carolina knowing that you have A&M on the schedule, knowing that you end the game at Clemson, who by that point in the year – could have their stuff together. You have Clemson, you have Georgia on the schedule. It's hard for me, despite all the optimism around that program right now. It's hard. I mean, it's over six minus 140. I think there are enough potholes on that schedule that 7-5 is going to be hard to come by.
All right, I grabbed over six at minus 125.
I know you love them. I love Shane too.
Here's the deal. They couldn't throw the ball down the field last year, Bear. They couldn't do it. And they won six games. They won, 7-6 with the bowl game win. They beat Florida. They beat Auburn. They beat North Carolina in that game. I'm not a Spencer Rattler fan, but he is light years ahead of what they had at quarterback last year. And you mentioned the tight ends, the personnel groupings that they're going to be able to throw at teams. Jaheim Bell is an absolute freakazoid. He could line up anywhere on the field. He could line up in the backfield next to Rattler. He could line up wide as the widest wide receiver. They get Van back, Christian Beal-Smith from Wake Forest, leading rusher the last 2 years. They get him. Juice Wells is a wide receiver from James Madison. They love him in the program. The whole offensive line is back and backups. If they won six last year with no offense, I feel really good about them winning at least seven. I think the ability to have an offense just helps. It helps your defense. It helps your special teams. It helps your mindset. It helps your wide receivers knowing they're going to have a chance to get the ball. Unlike last year, they held teams to 17 or fewer in six of the eight SEC games last year. They do got to get more sacks. They got a couple five stars returning up front and Pickens and Birch, who are both studs. They get Terrell Dawkins from NC State. They led the SEC in takeaways. They needed to get up there again. And you mentioned Georgia State. Georgia State also shows up on North Carolina's schedule, I think, the following week. And North Carolina's going to Turner Field to play them. North Carolina's got a weird opening schedule. I think they go.
The Appalachian.
They go to two Boone and two
so weird
Atlanta. So I think they win Georgia State, and I really think they have a good chance of winning at Arkansas because I like the way they match up against them. So I am all in on over six minus 125 for the Gamecocks, and I'm pumped to see that play out because I think the offense and the fan base will be great. One of my favorite fan bases in the country. And that leads us to Mizzou. The number is 5.5 plus 105. A lot of changeover. Got the first third ever five-star recruit in program history who is by all means, and everybody talks around him, Luther Burden is an absolute stud. They lost all SEC center. I don't think they're going to be able to run multiple tight end sets as they have in the years past. And I do love a Coach Drink quote of discipline to compete precedes the discipline to win. Quarterback Bazelak left for Indiana. Brady Cook played in the bowl game. I thought he played great for a first time against Army. Mm-hmm. They also have a kid, Taylor Macon, and then they still have Jack Abraham. Yes, that Jack Abraham.
Southern Miss Jack Abraham. Yep.
25 years old. The defense obviously was atrocious. That's the thing.
Are they
going
to be able to stop anybody? I mean, that's everything.
Yeah. They're going to score. I'll tell you right now, they're going to score points. Could be a nice over play in weeks where we can get along the number. What do they got? Oh, that's the game. They got La Tech at home. I think that's a blind
the Blake Baker
at K-State. At K-State week two. Oh, that's a Thursday night La Tech. Okay. And then Abilene Christian, and then they go to Auburn. What's their record when they go to Auburn?
Two and one.
Okay. I might have texted Coach Drink and said, hey, if you're I said if you're 4-0, how about game day to Missouri on October 1st for Georgia? His response, hell, I'm trying to go 1-0.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Abilene Christian's no joke of a an FCS game either.
Just going back and reading some of this, I mean, what Tennessee did to them was just brutal. I will say they improved. but it was, I think you can only improve from the start of their year.
Correct.
On the defensive side. They allowed 17 rushing touchdowns in the first five games. Tennessee ran for 452 and scored on 10 of the first 11 possessions.
Yeah, you got a bunch of returning production coming back from a very non-productive unit. So it could just be a thing where maybe they do take a little bit of a step forward.
Yeah, I just – the way it stacks up, it's not a play for me. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch, though. Coach Drink always has a good game plan. They were 6-7 last year, that tough loss to Army in the bowl game.
Yeah, I should have won that game.
I know. And all the money was on Army in that game. Yeah. And he's 11-12 in his first 2 years. He starts his third year, so – that's Mizzou. It's a no play for me, but fired up to see what they bring to the table because I think he's the right guy for that job. You just got to let him keep building and recruiting. He's done very well on that side. You mentioned Will Anderson, Heisman. Anybody else? I saw David Hale had an interesting one with Jahmyr Gibbs, running back at Alabama. He took a shot on him. I thought that was interesting.
Was interesting too. You still got to wonder though if, like, someone on the offense other than Young would get some votes. That's I wonder too. I guess you got to figure out, like, if you like Alabama to win the league, do you just play Alabama right now to win the league? I mean,
yeah, I think so.
I mean, the problem is, unlike Ohio State, like, the Ohio State money line in the Big Ten championship game is going to be a lot longer than what the Ohio State money line to win the league is right now. So, whereas I think if Alabama plays Georgia in the SEC championship game, like, what will the money line might not be that much different from what it is now. So it's probably just best to.
Right now, if they played week one, you would favor Alabama, right?
Yeah, I think you'd have to.
Any thoughts on Georgia laying a big number week one?
No. What I'm looking at is the total in the game potentially, and even more specifically the Oregon team total. But like we've seen Bo Nix versus the Georgia defense, and we've seen how it ends. And it doesn't end well. And, like, how is Oregon going to score If you extrapolate out the total with the team total, you're probably looking at like Oregon under 17, under 17 and a half as a team total. I think that's going to be a hard ask for Oregon to score three touchdowns in that game to go over 17 and a half. And at the same time, like, I don't know. I think people are going to have this perception because Mario is gone, because Kayvon Thibodeau is gone. Like, the Oregon defense is still going to be really, really good with Sewell and Justin Flowback and some of the other guys that they lost to injury last year. Like, it's not a given that Georgia, with the familiarity that Lanning has with that offense and a lot of those players' strengths and weaknesses, that Georgia puts up a monster number in this game.
Yeah.
Like this could just be a dead under game in addition to the under for the Oregon team total. So I think it's very interesting. Like, I think so many people are locked in on the Notre Dame-Ohio State game week one because of those names and the schools and the programs. Like, the Oregon-Georgia game is much more fascinating to me than Ohio State-Notre Dame, which I don't think will ultimately be super competitive.
Yeah, I was doing some West Virginia reading last night. I am fired up for the Backyard Brawl that first Thursday night.
I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to going. I have no idea what to expect from West Virginia. It could go either way, and it wouldn't surprise me. They could step up and have a surprise type season, or they could be really bad. Nothing would surprise me.
And on the other side, you got Pitt, who the next week they got Tennessee coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's you gotta win that game. I haven't gone in on Pitt yet. But the West Virginia things, I've liked what I've read a lot, and I grabbed them. I think I had 8 or 7.5. I already grabbed, and that first Thursday night, I'll take the points in that game, just because I feel they have to get better quarterback play from JT. I like the mix of him with Graham Harrell. Diggy was just he couldn't do it.
He was just limited,
you know. And I just in a week one. I think Neil Brown will have that team buttoned up, knowing they got to go there. And then the other one, Penn State, Purdue. Still have some roster checking on Penn State, but I read about Purdue. That's – you're talking season win totals. That might be one that you know after that game. So, anything else?
A lot of people high on Purdue this year.
Yes.
Lambert coming back and – some players back from injury and a lot of
lost two studs though that scare me.
Yeah.
Karlaftis and Bell. I think they're gonna have very good NFL careers, both those guys. I really do. Anything else about your travels you want to tell the people? Any new responsibilities?
Me? No.
I
took a nice trip this past spring. It was great until I had to sit there in the middle of the Mediterranean, not be able to get off the massive amount of Liverpool Champions League futures that I had. It was awful to sit there and watch it and know that I was completely screwed after Courtois made a save on Sadio Mane. And I was like, this is not going to end well. And I was unable to do anything about it because all the internet sites were blocked. And a buddy of mine was like, there has to be a bookie on the boat somewhere. Go find him. And couldn't happen. That was a great trip, but a very down, a very somber evening for sure. Mm.
How's the spa treating you up in Saratoga?
I had two really nice hits up there, two really nice pick fives, and the weekend that I was out in Vegas for the contest, it did not go well. It was a terrible weekend, and
I don't like that.
Yeah, that was great. I had a great hit the week before. Had a terrible weekend at the contest, and then came back home and had a really nice pick five as well. So I think I'm due for a nice a nice week here after last weekend was a down week. I really didn't do much last weekend because the cards were kind of poopy to be honest with you.
I'm gonna say it happens time to time up there.
Yeah, how are you? I mean.
And those are the days you just got to survive.
Maybe if you figured out a way to make money, the way I bet with pick fours and pick fives, like if you could figure out a way to make money with Jackie's Warrior and and an epicenter. It's just short prices and short fields. It's tough for me because you got to basically search the. I mean, you did get some prices in the last couple of legs, but yeah, it's the couple of nice hits have really outweighed everything else so far.
All right. Anything else before we go? What do we want to do next week? You want to get to your Canes in the ACC?
Sure, why not?
All right, ACC next week. I love the quarterback conversation in that league. I'm fired up for it. Maybe we grab somebody to talk, get a quarterback expert on, see what we could do.
I think we can manage that.
To hash out the ideas. So, all right, if that's it, all you got, that's it. That's the SEC. All the plays. To recap, my two favorites are South Carolina over. I would go LSU over 6.5. South Carolina over 6. Pay the juice. And I, in the West, I would say under Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm obvious here with the two big dogs. Over the 10.5. Lay the juice, and then LSU over would be the over the 7 would be the other one for me.
Have you seen to make the playoff odds?
No, I have not, but I can look. Let's see.
I feel like that's a Bet Rivers.
Well, unfortunately, Connecticut Sugar House and I aren't getting along right now. They don't like the figure that I've had with them over the last year. So that you said it. So now I have to go there because I opened my mouth. But it's totally bizarre, man. Like I mentioned, I was on vacation. Like before I went on vacation, I mean, I was out of the country and on a cruise. I didn't make a bet for 3 weeks because I was away. I was out of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And before I left, the sides and the totals were and the live betting were totally fine. I was totally cool, all good. And I was limited in the some of the player props and in the derivative markets like that, which okay, but it was still playable and still manageable. And then I come back and I forget who the Lightning were playing. I don't know if it were the Rangers, I don't know if it were the Leafs, but I go to play. Like it was apparent that this game was going under. So I like bought an under 6.5 end game, and it was a massive number. So I go to play it, and it's like, sorry, the max wager allowed is like 87.08. I'm like, what? I'm like, click it again, same thing. And all of a sudden, I was like limited to like winning $15 a pop. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, I haven't made a bet in 3 weeks. Like, what? What the hell happened here? Why all of a sudden I'm like basically banned from Connecticut? Like someone at Canby or Rush Street all of a sudden decided, I guess, and maybe they didn't like the pictures I was posting from the cruise. I don't know, but yeah. So yeah, Connecticut Sugar House and Rush Street and Canby right now and myself are not the best of friends. Yeah, I tried to play that TCU when we did the Daily Wager show when we were talking about like week one odds. I'm like, oh, my college, my TCU's only 7.5 against Colorado. Let me try and play that. So I go to play that and try to play it. And then, of course, that got limited to like $5.72 or whatever it was. I'm just like, what's going on? What the hell is going on? So who knows? Who knows if it'll ever get remedied or not? But all I know is it's all going to be better with legalization, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. Terrific. Mm. But great with DraftKings and FanDuel on sides and totals. I'm good. And again, a couple of restrictions with some futures, but it's what sticks about not only having two outs here in the state of Connecticut, where now with having one of my legs chopped out from under me in terms of finding the best line.
Yeah. At least you don't have to drive.
Now you sent me off on a tangent.
Now, at least you don't have to drive over to another state to do yours. Okay.
Well, pretty soon, I think. I think pretty soon, Massachusetts is going to have something.
Yeah, just went down Monday morning.
Yeah, I might have to I mean, what that could do would be maybe on some of those days where I have an early flight or a late flight. You know, it's not too hard from
one more exit.
It's not too hard for to just stay north on 91.
Nope.
And head across the border.
We'll see. All right. That'll do it. ACC next week. Thank you for everybody asking when we're coming out. But now we're here, and we'll be with you to the end of the season. And let it rip. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.